Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast, where we give you all the news, the reviews, and the
rumors
on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. I'm joined today by the Stealth King, Vikarth. How are you?
I am doing well.
I am your host, Dan. The
man.
Thank you very much. So, how have you been, mate? It's been a while since we've covered some of the news that's been going on in this industry, hasn't it?
Yeah, did a few of that end of year good stuff. Game of the year. We did our fantasy draft and talked about our most anticipated games. So, that's all really exciting. Definitely recommend checking those out. There's already been a few games that have come out, Dan, hasn't there? So that is exciting.
Yes. Did you have Forspoken
on the board? Unfortunately, I chose it in the just in case. I said in case it hits 70, I just don't want to get negatives. I just want something to be a 70.
So
it's not too bad. It got a 69.
They got minus 1.3. That's fine.
Well, it's a minus one right now.
On what? This is open.
But the, yeah, Open Critic, you got 69, so it's a minus one. Yeah.
Okay. And then you got Dead Space.
Yeah, so that got a 90 for me.
Very nice.
Which is good. Yeah, so that's the 20 points on the board.
Start. I've got Deliver Us Mars comes out tomorrow and Hogwarts Legacy, which comes out next week. Hogwarts is shaping up to be a massive release, man. I don't know if you've been tracking this game. Huge anticipation and rave previews for everyone that's played it.
Yeah, it's exciting, honestly. Yeah, I'm pumped. It's not too far away now.
All right, so I tell you one game that you will have to play, I think, like before the year ends, and that's Dead Space Remake. This is a sensational video game, especially for survival horror fans. Has elevated that original game to new heights. I played the first one years ago. I don't know how long, 10 years ago or something. And so I went back to that game just last week, just before the remake came out, just to sort of refresh. And that still holds up, that game, 2008. Geez, it's such a good game for 2008. Holds up so well. So in one mind, you're going, well, does it really need a remake? Some people don't think it does. If you're one of those people, then don't buy the remake. It's that simple. There's just a lot of people that are coming into this series fresh. They've never played. And so they'll come into this, they'll love it, and maybe they'll remake 2 down the line. And so they're trying to build the franchise back up because 3 was a bit of a letdown, Dead Space 3. So in terms of a gameplay, they've added a few different things. Like, for instance, now in an encounter, you can choose to keep the lights off or put 0G into the air. So you'll be floating around and the enemies will be, it's a bit more disorientating because they could be just flying at you from different directions. Or you want the lights off where you're going to have to go for your senses, your audio, because there's directional audio as well. So if you know exactly where they are with the audio, it's fantastic. You know, a lot of people say, think of the graphics when you think of a remake, but I always look at the sound design as well as a big factor. They always overhaul the sound design, and they've done it with this game as well. So you got to make that choice in certain scenarios, which wasn't in the original game. Also, the 0G from the original game, it used to just be jumping. Now it's fully, you know, free floating. They've also redesigned some of the levels slightly, but still keeping the essence. And it's all interconnected. It's actually a one-shot game. It's like God of War. There's no cutscenes. There's no break. The entire game. They do. The only sort of break you have is when you go into the tram. You can tell they're loading, but besides that, it's really well done. I'm really impressed by EA lately. I've got to say, with this, with Jedi Survivor coming around the corner, with It Takes Two, they're putting out some good stuff. Like, so, the old EA might be coming back. What do you think?
Oh, that's a whole episode on its
Two.
own, Dan.
Yeah, I
But
know.
yeah, look, I'm excited. I'm glad that EA are going in a more positive direction. I think Anthem was probably the low point, wasn't it? That was probably
Oh,
rock
yeah.
bottom.
Yeah, that
And
was rock
then
bottom.
now, yeah. And look, Andromeda. Look, I still think there's some issues. I think Mass Effect is probably not in a good space. I think there was a, wasn't it just the lead writer for Mass Effect, the Mass Effect series, left, right?
They've had a few people
So,
leave, which is giving us red flags, but we haven't seen anything. So let's go in positively if we can.
the Mass Effect writer, Mac Walters, so he was a lead writer on ME2 and ME3 and the production director on Dragon Age Dreadwolf. He was with BioWare for 20 years or nearly 20 years. He officially left the company mid development of this new Mass Effect or, whatever it is. Yeah, and he
The
was a narrative
Legendary Edition
director as
was
well
good, wasn't
for
it?
Anthem. Yeah,
Legendary
Legendary
Edition.
Edition was great. He was a project director for the Legendary Edition. So I just think that's a big loss. So I'm not saying that it's some dire situation, but that is a big loss. And it's normally almost always negative when a big person at the studio leaves. Like I and there's I can only think of like a one time where they've actually done well, but I'm saying, Dan, this what was those? There have been a few games where the
Dan
people have
Houser
left.
from Rockstar's
I
left.
was gonna say Dan Houser from Rockstar. We have no idea the effect that has had because we
No.
haven't seen GTA 6. The other one I'll say that actually turned out okay was when Amy Hennig left mid Uncharted 4. But you have a Neil Druckmann. It's not, there's not, every studio has an Amy Hennig leave and a Neil Druckmann. Like, you can't, that's not, they're both supremely talented people. So it wasn't hugely a big loss. But there have been games that I'm just, oh man, I had them in my head and now they've left me where people have left mid development.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been a
Oh, there's been
negative action.
plenty lately. Like even Bruce Straley, he didn't really get a nod in the Last of Us series, which was a bit interesting.
Yeah, heard about
And he
that.
was a co-director, co-creator. I thought he was. He's gone off and made his own studio. There's plenty of other. I think was it Cliff Belinsky? What's his name?
Lozinski.
Blazinski. I think he's working on something at the moment. So there's all over the shop. I forgot the Japanese woman who was working on Ghostwire Tokyo, she moved
Yeah,
on
she left.
to do
And
something.
that's sort of like, you can see how that negatively impacted the game, right?
Yeah,
So
I just feel like these people want their creative vision to come to life, and some of these bigger corporations aren't letting them do that. They're constraining them too much, so they go off and make their own company for the most part. Whereas I feel like they let Neil Druckmann, for instance, or they used to let Herman Hulst before he was the director of everything Sony at Guerrilla. They let those guys run wild, sort of. They let them just do whatever they want, like Kojima, let him do what he wants. We're going to get a great product in the end, whereas others don't get the same treatment. Anyway, no, I think EA are coming around. I mean, I haven't played the last few Need for Speeds. I do want to test out
Unbound.
Unbound. Unbound,
Yeah.
yeah. I do want to
I've
test it.
heard positives and negatives for that game. So
Same
it's just
here.
strange to me that, do you know what really, I think what frustrates me about Need for Speed is that they have such a legacy and it's so clear what fans want. Like Most Wanted, Carbon, Underground, even Pro Street, you can throw in there. Most Wanted, Hot Pursuit, even. I know not all of them can mix with the whole cops and races, but they have this tried and tested thing, and they're still trying to, I don't know. I mean, I can see the direction they're going with Unbound, but they still haven't hit that nail on the head, even though they've got this amazing stuff. Just I could honestly, if they just remade Need for Speed Most Wanted, not the 2015 remake, but if they just remade it with the original story, the same story, same cars, same cops, same pursuit breaker, all those mechanics, and just upgraded it, maybe put it like a Need for Speed remake, they would make money and they would set it off in a good direction and know what fans want. But yeah, I mean, I'm like you, Dan. I'm very much optimistic about EA, much more than Ubisoft. They're going pretty downhill, but
that's
Dan,
another episode. But the guys that did Dead Space. So why I mentioned the Zero G is that it's very similar to what they're going to be doing in their next game, which is an Iron Man game. So this is the same studio that is doing an Iron Man game, Motive Studios. It was announced late last year for Marvel Games. So if they can make Dead Space this damn good, I've got faith that they can really make a great Iron Man game. So I just thought I'd bring that up as well.
They made Star Wars Squadrons as well, EA Motive. So
yeah, and that was a nice little romp that I played a little bit of, but it wasn't really my style. But for the people that liked it, they loved it. For that liked that genre, I mean. It wasn't really a mainstream game, I wouldn't say. Because you're in the fighter pilot. It was more built for VR, but yeah, so what were you going to say, Vogue?
No, I was going to say, speaking of important staff members leaving mid-development, and this sort of points to our conversation we're having before the episode, Sefton Hill, and I think Jamie Walker's the other guy, they're the co-founders of Rocksteady. They left the studio at the end of 2022.
Oh.
So that's a big one, mate.
No, that is a big one. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They left,
but the game's already
mostly done. Come on, you're right, Dan. The game's mostly done.
They thought they got a dud on their hands, so they're getting out.
That's what I'm saying. Why else would you leave? Why not just wait? Why not just wait until the game comes out?
No, so, I feel like they're probably just moving on to something different. Why wait for the whole release cycle when you can get on something now?
When I saw that image, that leaked screenshot that said Battle Pass, and there's all these currencies, I don't know, Dan. For those who don't know, there was an image floating around. I think someone who was testing the game was not supposed to obviously put that image, and they put it online. And there was an image of the game Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, and it was a menu. And the menu is pretty standard. You had your stuff on the left, mission select, continue, whatever, load game. And then the main part of the menu was just the four characters. And then on the top was your nav bar. So you could go to options, sort of like that side-scrolling bar at the top. And it had, you know, among other things like, you know, loadouts or whatever it was, skills. There was one submenu called Battle Pass. So, and here's the thing, Dan.
What's your point?
Here's the thing.
What's your point?
Yeah, I'll tell you my point. They could have easily said, guys, it's cosmetic. Because if you said here's a battle pass, it's cosmetic, no, everyone would be like, okay, that's okay. Like, there is no reason why you would hide or why you would be silent on the issue unless it wasn't cosmetic. Because if it's cosmetic, they know, but by saying it's cosmetic, they would have, all the fans would have been okay.
That this was a real image, by the way.
But
I mean, it's pretty,
pretty
obvious.
Pretty verified.
But, I mean,
yeah.
It's not
the
a
other
final
thing is,
product.
Dan,
you don't know this.
On the forums, whenever people talk about the Battle Pass, they're banning them. That's a bit sus.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
Well, that's what's happening.
That could be hearsay.
No, that's not hearsay. It's been reported. Yeah, Dubai. I don't know, remember where Dubai. I reported that from.
Yeah, I'm not taking that at face. We'll see about that. But how did we go off on this tangent?
Oh, yeah. But no, I'm pretty sure it's, it's been well verified that there have been, I guess, some sort of banning or silencing of critics on their forums.
Look, I do want to do an episode where you and me go through that and maybe the future of DC. I think that'd be a great episode. I was hoping they'd give us some gameplay so we could do it then when we actually get some more game. I know we've seen a little bit, but like some uncut gameplay, like raw footage where influencers or, you know, media go in and post it, that sort of thing. But haven't heard anything about it, so who knows? I don't think it's going to be pushed again. Now, there was another game that came out. Like, so anyway, I highly recommend Dead Space, guys. I want you, please, pick it up for me. Do it for me. You know, please. It's such a good game. Okay. Forspoken came out as well, like. And it's exactly what we predicted, unfortunately, isn't it?
I don't think anyone expected this game. Everyone saw this game and we sort of knew. It's funny how people, yeah, I just think it's funny that we as gamers can just see a game and know how it's going to turn out from a few trailers. And I know it's probably too late to change the fundamental of the game. Like,
you can't say that because there's a lot of people who are just finding our podcasts and they've caught up and we were very high on Cyberpunk and, you know, a few other games.
Yes, Cyberpunk was a bit of a, but I'll say two things to that, Dan. I'll say a few things to that. First of all, Forspoken, the problem everyone had was the dialogue. This up, it just looks bloated. The mechanics weren't so good. Cyberpunk, it wasn't a story issue. It wasn't a gameplay issue. It was a performance issue, and they hid that from us by being very careful about what they showed. So
true.
We can't tell performance by looking at it, but we can tell everything else about the game, the story. Like, that's what I mean. So I don't see I can definitely see the difference between the Cyberpunk, where they're trying to put the wool over our eyes with its performance and its the technical side, and a game like this where we're looking at it from a design critique.
Well, you're sort of at the point now where if a game is running well and there's not many bugs, it gets praised.
It gets praised, I know.
It's like this Dead Space game.
We're sporting the fish for swimming. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, this game, Dead Space game, was pretty, for me anyway, on the PlayStation 5, I think I had one or two glitches, but it wasn't. And again, I just expect to have a couple with any game. And, you know, nothing too bad. So it was great.
Aside from PC people
that say it's terrible. So it's just hard to know.
That's why, like, I know aside from Days Gone, maybe, the Sony first parties have been pretty good on launch. GT, I don't think Gran Turismo had any. Well, was that a bit buggy, maybe? But
No, it
was just a battle pass. I mean, it's
you're right. Sony first parties are usually, not that Dead Space is one, but Sony first parties are usually pretty damn good.
I'm saying if they can do it on their AAA huge budgets, then there should be no excuse for anyone to have release a polished game. You know, when I buy a car, it's not going to be like, oh, the airbag doesn't quite work, but we'll patch it in later. But here, buy the car. It will advertise it comes with an airbag, but then, we'll patch it in a bit later. It's sort of funny how games, even apps, think about an iPhone, like the apps, like you can't release a lot of any apps like in a buggy state or an iOS update, but with games, or movies. Could you imagine like a buggy movie where like the frames are cutting out or there's some discoloration or something? Like, it's just with games where I guess we're okay. We happen to be okay with that. There's not much regulation on. You can release a Cyberpunk and it'd be completely broken and that'd be okay. Like, yeah, Sony pulled it off the PS Store way after, but yeah, it just goes to show how unique our industry is, you know, our medium is in that way. But
so yeah, Forspoken ended up being a bit of an average sort of title that, to be honest, I've only played like an hour, so I can't really comment. It was a very janky hour. I got to admit, it wasn't really grabbing me. Vikarth hasn't played it. Jordan hasn't played it. So maybe one of us will push through by the end of the year. But at the moment, when you got Dead Space out and Hogwarts around the corner, it's going to be forgotten very quickly, I would presume, for Spoken.
Yeah, this game's already somewhat under the radar. Yeah, I just can't see. Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. It had a lot of promise. There was a lot of talent tied to this game. But
Amy Hennig was attached.
There was someone else who was pretty talented that was working on some big projects as well. Jordan remembers a name, but I forgot who it was. What capacity were they? Was it more of a consulting? Gary Widder, he was on the game as well. So,
but what capacity? These guys are decent writers, and the one critique is the writing. Interestingly, I know Todd Stashwick was involved as well. He was originally going to play Sam Drake. in Uncharted 4.
Gary Whitta did Rogue One, or he co-wrote the story.
Yeah, he wrote and The Walking Dead, a famous game.
But then he also did After Earth, so who knows?
Yeah, but he didn't create that story, I don't think.
Mr. Shyamalan,
I don't
the king
know.
Of twists. The king of twists.
I feel like it was a movie so that the Will Smith and his son could.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It was a cool trailer. Even the trailer had a twist.
I never saw the movie. Never saw that movie.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to quickly say, with the Rocksteady banning people, I will just clarify, it was a Niche Gamer article. Now, I've tried to look around and I haven't seen anyone else mention it. So I will say, take it with a grain of salt. I've seen a few YouTubers use that article, but aside from that, it hasn't seemingly been verified. But essentially, it was saying that those who were trying to discuss the news on the Facebook page about the Battle Pass, they decided to ban those people. Now, that might not be as predatory as we think, because if something leaks, any talk about it, they need to stop it. But because whether it's a positive or negative about the leak, but they are banning, which seems very extreme. But, you know, whether that's verified or not, it was only one article, so take it with a grain of salt. But all I'm saying is, Sefton Hill, I don't know, the Battle Pass, I've lost confidence in the Rocksteady in this game, Suicide Squad. So I'm sure the story will be phenomenal because they nail it with the story. But the gameplay mechanics, Arkham Knight, there was a very slight chink in the armor we saw. And I just think that chink in the armor was not the only reason it wasn't bigger, was because they know the Arkham formula back to front. They perfected their combat really well, but there were a few design decisions and things. So I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I hope it's good. Like, there's nothing more I want than a good Suicide Squad game. I love DC so much. So,
well, while we're touching on that, we might as well mention that Marvel's Avengers is shutting down development for good.
Bad.
You'll still be able to play the title, but there'll be no more DLC, no more new characters. And after a couple of years, that is it, Vic, which I am surprised it wasn't going quicker, unfortunately. It was a really interesting game that I play. I played it last year, actually, majority of it last year. There were some fun moments. The worst part was just the enemy design was so boring. You know, after a couple hours, it just got so tiresome fighting robots over and over. And there's never been a game where I just felt it was all meaningless as much as that game.
It is, yeah. So maybe just to report on it, then we can talk about it. So on March 31st, 2023, they'll release a final version, a final update, I should say. It's not going to add any new content. There's no additional cosmetics. It's just going to deliver the final balance update and turn off the cosmetics marketplace. So as a gesture of goodwill or whatever you may want to see it as, they're making all the cosmetics free on the marketplace from March 31st, or once they've shut down everything. Outfits, takedowns, emotes, nameplates, all of that will be free. And then support will officially be ended completely on the September 30th.
So any bugs that come after September 30 will be there for good.
Yep.
Any exploits,
yep, exactly.
Like,
yeah. So, yeah, I think the funny thing is everyone was so hyped for this when they saw Avengers initially and Crystal Dynamics. And then as soon as we saw that there was it was going to be like an MMO style or more like a Battle Pass looter type game, everyone lost confidence. Everyone lost confidence. And everyone knew it was somewhat DOA. Like, no one had confidence in it. I know it sold really well. I think a lot of casuals just saw the Avengers title, but a lot of the video game critics and the critic space instantly saw what it was going to be like. And this is another case of gamers or not hardcore, but like those, the people who are well-seasoned gamers and are in this, you know, gamer space and the internet, whatever, we can tell how games are just by its features and how it looks. And we're pretty good. Like, yeah, we don't get it all the time, but we have a pretty good barometer. And
but
once again,
I think
know.
You're talking about this small gaming community that will listen to podcasts, that will check the news.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's the those who enjoy video games as a hobby and as a lifestyle. right? Because that's the people you want, who are the critics, you know. You're not just going to get a random guy critiquing the iPhone. It's the tech YouTubers and those in the tech space, right? So it's the same for video games, but yeah, I don't know. I understand what they were trying to do. Oh, it's got Marvel. It's got Avengers. Let's make it a free-to-play or a battle pass, and we'll just rake in the dollars. And they just thought that would work with, you know, a lackluster gameplay and boring mechanics, maybe a good story and good writing, but that's it. So I don't, you know, and you know what I see, Dan? I actually think I see a shift. It's just starting, Dan. That's my prediction. It's just starting. We're going to be shifting back away from monetization, heavily monetized
and story games. Driven.
No, I just feel like with the success of like Dead Space Remake, and I think EA is a huge, like trends, like that people will follow EA because they're the biggest company. And if EA are starting to turn back on a lot of this stuff, then I think we're going to see that. I think live service and actually those sort of games are still going to be hugely developed. I know Sony have like 10 in development, but I definitely see people realizing, maybe not a shift back, but it's more people realize with the failure of Anthem, with the failure of Avengers, you think that'd be an unfailable IP, with the failure of not Andromeda, but maybe Anthem and Avengers. People are realizing that you can't just be lazy about them, like these sort of looter shooters, well, open style. Destiny did it, but they did it well. And you have to put care just as much as you can't just slap a genre on a game and an IP and expect it to rake in dollars, you know?
Yeah, Sony are developing, a lot of live service games. And one of those games, I think, maybe not the next Fortnite per se or the next Warzone, but it'll be the next best thing to that. And that is The Last of Us Factions. After the success of Part 1, Part 2, and now the TV series, Naughty Dog being a premium developer in this space, one of the best in the world, I have very, very high hopes for that game and what they're going to be doing. They've worked on it for a very long time. I've got extreme high standards for it, maybe too high. Oh, maybe I should lower them a bit. But there's some real promise with that game. I think it could be a real hit. Rather than that Horizon game that was leaked the other day, which was the Monster Hunter ripoff. We've talked about it for weeks and weeks. It finally got leaked. It looked cartoony. There was a bit of base building, I think. I mean, I'll give it a go, but it's just not what I'm looking for personally.
Is this for Call of the Mountain?
No, Horizon multiplayer.
Yeah, look, I'm excited for Factions. I actually think they are so underrated, Naughty Dog, because of no one.
I don't know if they're underrated.
No, they're very well rated for single player, but they're underrated for multiplayer.
Oh, okay.
I just think, man, like Uncharted multiplayer was so damn good, like so much fun. And then obviously Last of Us Factions was something special. And these are just like almost like tacked on things to their main story. Mm. And I'm just excited to see a Naughty Dog put their full creative drive into a multiplayer property. And I'm excited. I'm very excited for
Horizon
Factions. Yeah.
What about Horizon?
Horizon, I'm not sure. Like there is a bit of, I think, IP burnout. There's a TV show, there's a VR game, there's a sequel coming, there's a MMO coming, there's all this stuff coming, and I don't know if it's spread thin. It means that Guerrilla can't have a tight hold on all these things, and this is when things start to deviate from the main vision. This is when, you know, things start falling through the cracks. So I think a Horizon MMO is a no-brainer. I think it's such a good decision. Like, you need a Monster Hunter, you know, competitor, and Horizon's a perfect world to compete against that. But
is
how's
there
that going to work?
Such thing as IP burnout these days? Marvel would say no.
I would say yes. I think a lot of people are over Marvel, to be honest. I think Marvel I think people are over it. The TV shows have it's been panned pretty hard.
But
She-Hulk and stuff.
But just last year they had, or 2021, Spider-Man No Way Home generated nearly $2 billion. So
yeah, Spider-Man. You can't say
okay.
Spider-Man.
Well, he's a part of Marvel, is he not?
I honestly, I think, look at Ant-Man's numbers when that comes out. Maybe look at the future
think Ant-Man's going to do quite well.
I think it's going to suck.
This is so funny. Because I really don't like the first two films. And this is the first one that I'm thinking looks all right. And you're the complete opposite.
I think it'll do well because it's going to be integral to the story. It's going to set up the phase so that everyone's going to watch it. But I think you're going to really see it with future movies. It's just lost its magic ever since the Infinity Saga. So who knows?
All right. Well, speaking of Naughty Dog, there was a PlayStation advert that showcased a bit of, it was called Life from PS5, and it showcased a bit of what they've got on the horizon. You know, there was a Spider-Man part of this ad. It was all live action, by the way. There was Horizon, what else was there? Like God of War.
Returnal,
Ratchet and Clank. Give me some others. Stray.
Yep.
Gran Turismo.
There's a rally one as well, I think.
There was this image of this woman in a cave with holding a torch going to a treasure.
Fire. Yeah, like a fire torch. One, you know, a stick with a flame on the end.
And the big speculation here, and I'll tell you what's going on in this space. Naughty Dog came out and said, we are not doing any more Uncharted. Our story is told. That's it. They didn't, however, say that someone else isn't doing it. Okay, they just said they're off. So the big rumor is someone else is working on an Uncharted game with Cassie, who is, you know, Drake's daughter from the game. Bit of a spin-off or a new series of games. And, of course, Uncharted's biggest inspiration was what, Mike? Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider are with Amazon now. They've got a game in development as well with a new actor who's coming in to do a new series of Tomb Raider games. You know, to be honest, those last three were fantastic. All three I enjoyed. So, yeah, Cassie, Uncharted 5, or will they give it another name? Who knows? You know, Uncharted 5 will probably sell better, but would they? I don't know. I think they'll probably go with a different name, personally. What do you think, Vic? Is that something you're interested in? I'm very torn on this one because it's not going to be Naughty Dog.
What if
the essence of that series? But then again, Amy Henning was the one that did those first three games. She was the creative controller, the director. She didn't do 4, and 4 was phenomenal.
That
was Neil. So now you've got none of those. Who is it? That's going to be the first thing. Well, I heard Bluepoint could be a contender. We don't know what Bluepoint are doing. We know that they're working on something. You've also got Ben Studio that did Days Gone. They're not doing Days Gone 2. So are they doing Uncharted? It would make sense for them to do it because Days Gone was in a similar vein, a little bit of similar vein, don't you think? Ben did Golden Abyss, which was on a Vita.
Also,
it was a Vita Ben's, Uncharted game. They have done an Uncharted game.
The rumor going around was that Ben was taking on a new Uncharted game, but was heavily supervised by Naughty Dog, and then they weren't happy with it. And it got cancelled. That was rumor, but
who knows? Honestly, who knows? So I'm still torn on it. I'm just torn on the fact that I really loved how they ended that series. It brought a tear to my eye, that final game. Very special series to me. And that, you know, it was now going on 7 years ago now since they ended the game. So it has been quite a number of years. And we probably won't see, if there is an Uncharted in development, we probably won't see it come to light for another few years. So probably 10 years, probably 2025, 2026 till we get it anyway. So although we did get Lost Legacy, didn't we, the year after?
Yeah. I think Bend would be good because of like what you said, Dan, because of they did Golden Abyss, and Golden Abyss is pretty well received.
But Bluepoint did the collection, Vi. If you remember,
Bluepoint did the collection, yes. But Bluepoint, so I feel like they're on something bigger. They're on something bigger than Uncharted.
Bigger than Uncharted? What do you mean, you know, bigger?
There's some reason. Like, something's going on.
Something's
going
bigger?
On at Bluepoint.
You know what you think's bigger. Fucking Metal Gear, you dirty person. You dirty, dirty but boy. You naughty boy.
I don't know.
You're thinking in your brain, admit it.
I was thinking Metal Gear, or there was probably another, like a Bloodborne or something.
I'm sorry, right? but Uncharted's bigger than both of those brands.
I agree that Uncharted is huge, but I just feel like that is not.
It's what more. They are working it's probably on. More exciting for many.
I still think Blue Point. Let me put it like this. I still think Blue Point are working on a remake. They're not making a new game. Uncharted 5 would be a new game. Blue Point are still.
I heard they're working
something.
On two games.
Yeah, right. Look, Uncharted 5 would be great. Mm. It's a big thing to ask a studio to a new studio like to make its first game because it's been doing all the remakes. It's a big ask, but I think Blue Point are up to it. They're up to the task, up to the challenge. But I would love to see a bend. But who knows? And yeah, we'll see. Is it Lara Croft? Is it Cassie Drake? You know, who knows? Are they the same person? Is this the tie-in, Dan? The tie-in game? Their daughter is Lara Croft.
That would be kind of sick, man. Yeah, I mean, never going to happen.
It completely ruined the lore of Tomb Raider.
No, but imagine Cassie and Tomb Raider team up, man. You build Cassie up in a few games and then get them together. I mean, co-op.
Dude, that would be
co-op
sick.
Game. Cassie Drake and Lara Croft.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know. Crossovers, man. They sell. I'm just telling you.
They don't do crossovers. Where's the Doom meets Halo? It's literally screaming for a game.
Yeah. The video games don't really do crossovers, really.
Why don't they? I think they should.
I mean, it'd be hard.
It's a money thing.
You'd also need games of the same like gameplay and everything. Because, you know, the funny thing, I remember like Tekken Cross Street Fighter. It was basically Street Fighter's fighting style, and then they were going to do a Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and then they didn't do it. It got cancelled or whatever. But it's like, who do you choose? Do you choose Halo's gameplay or Doom's gameplay? Do you know what I mean? So,
well, I'm still
they
shocked.
They are similar in a way, but yeah,
they are still similar. I'm shocked that Street Fighter and Tekken did team up because they're like the biggest rival.
Mortal Kombat versus DC, mate. What a movie! What a game! Sorry, what a game.
Yeah, but you don't see Mortal Kombat teaming up with them because that's their competition. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've got to make sure I'm near the mic. E3
is dead.
You've said it for years. I think since we started this podcast, you've talked about how E3 is dead, and you're still right. I mean, as every year goes on, you continue to be right. I mean, it's technically not dead, but in the sense of since we saw Keanu Reeves come out, and there was a massive ovation when he was announced in Cyberpunk. That sort of buzz hasn't been around for 4 years. And it
Correct
looks
me if
like,
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry, you go, Dan.
Well, it looks like Xbox, Nintendo, and Sony will not be a part. The big three will not be a part of E3.
And correct me if I'm wrong. We haven't had an E3 since 2019, right?
That's what I'm saying.
A physical E3. So it's been 4 years, and then their big return. You don't have three of the biggest hitters in E3 history. So
guess what? PlayStation weren't at 2019 E3 either.
That's the thing. I just think all these studios, they just realized if we just do our own direct, we can pace our own show. We can perfectly, perfectly tailor the message to our audience. It won't be any on-screen screw ups, you know, all of that. They just realize it's probably cheaper for them to do their own. So I just think
severely
that,
cheaper.
Yeah. So I just definitely think that that's obviously there's a clear benefit to them doing it. So they're just like, look, we'll just do it ourselves. People will watch it, you know, and it's kind of sad that E3 is sort of dying out. Obviously the Video Game Awards is now where these big announcements are coming. And then obviously Sony have their state of plays and things like that. But I would definitely say, I don't know, E3 need to adapt or die in a way that, like, they need to adapt, maybe focus on third parties and indies. Make it a showcase like that.
So you're the owner of E3. I've got to either adapt or die. Which
one is
he going to pick? Which one's he going to pick? Of course he's going to try and adapt.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
Yeah, and did try to adapt with the stupid little app they had last year, and it was all off. It was garbage. I don't even know. I don't remember what they did. It's
sad because I think E3 used to be one of the best times of the year. Like, honestly, it used to be like Christmas in June. But, you know, that was years and years ago. But I just remember, like, I think it was 2017 or 2018. Like, oh, man, just game after game, and it was phenomenal. phenomenal. I think it was when Biohazard, Resident Evil Biohazard got announced. That was like one of the best years. And it was just phenomenal. That was like God of War got announced and Detroit got announced. And it was just Super Bowl style. Amazing. But yeah, those days are long gone.
I was even thinking, I was thinking, you know, the PS4 was 2013 till 2020 until the PS5 came out, right? So late 2023 till 2020. So what's that? 6 or 7 years.
Mm.
We're already in year three of PS5. And we joke about calling this podcast the PS6 one day. I mean, it's actually not that far away, man.
It probably isn't. They're already probably making it. It's probably in development, to be honest.
I truly believe that Mark Cerny is in his little cave with his robots, and he's working on the PS6. You know, where am I going to put this, man? Yeah. that guy is such a genius. He's the PS6 is actually going to be, it's going to talk to you. It's going to be revolutionary. It's going to be like, will. Yeah, it's going to play the game for you, essentially.
it's going to be the one.
Anyway, a couple more stories, guys. Star Wars Jedi Survivor has been delayed by only 6 weeks, which is really great for me as a YouTuber because I really didn't have time to play it. Now I do. Because there's Resident Evil 4 and Hogwarts. Now they've pushed it a bit out, so they're in a beautiful spot where everyone can play it and enjoy it and not have to compete against anything else. I think it's fantastic. And it gives them a bit more time to sort of refine a few more bugs because last time that was the problem, the stability, the polish. So it might even just be that. That's the reason, I would say, over the whole release date thing. But yeah, what do you think, Vike?
Yeah, 6 weeks isn't too much. Still, the classic adage, never trust a release date because they always get delayed. But it's all right. 6 weeks, polish it. It's probably to move it more than polish it, but you get a bit of both. So,
get a bit of both, yeah.
Yeah, exciting. I'm very pumped for Jedi Survivor.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be in the Game of the Year contention. PS Plus games are coming out very, very soon, or now, possibly. What have we got this week? We've got
a decent, decent, Dan. I'd say decent. So the three games, or I should say four games, I think. We've got Destiny 2, Beyond Light. That's the expansion.
That's
we've got
pretty
Evil
good.
Dead, the game, Evil Dead. We've got Oli Oli World and Mafia Definitive Edition.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was Destiny 2 already on it before, but now they're just putting it with the DLC?
Yeah, I think so. But I heard, is it Beyond Light? I've heard it's meant to be really good.
And remember, Sony owned Bungie. Let's just not forget that. I keep forgetting it.
It's a good point.
I've got to remind myself. But I want them to come up with something else rather than Destiny, personally. It's just me. I mean, I know people love Destiny. It's been going for years, but I'd love to see them branch out. So that's the PS Plus games. Not bad. Oli Oli World's underrated. Evil Dead's a bit underrated too. So good luck. The Crew. A series that we thought was gone and buried by. It's back. No one asked for it. No one asked for it. Did
game
they?
No one asked for.
And it's actually coming out this year. It's bizarre, man. The Crew Motorfest. Ubisoft, they're so bizarre the way they do things over there. What did you think of this?
They are in a dire state, mate, Ubisoft. But look, I will say, look, it was weird because the Crew 2 had boats, planes and jet skis and all this stuff, right? This game, it just looks like it's back to its car roots because I didn't see any on the trailer, the announcement trailer, there was no other modes of transport. It just seemed to be off-road driving and on-road driving, and it had the Lamborghini, is it the Urus? The SUV anyway, which I actually am a huge fan of. I do like that car. But I don't know. It just seems like a classic it just seems more like Crew One, where it's just racing, and I don't know who was excited for this and who wants to play it. I think they're trying to go the more Forza route, where it's like that open playground.
Well, here's what it says. Builds on the legacy of the Crew franchise to make it the best open world action driving experience in the series. Again, is there any other open world action driving game in the market? So, I mean, they've got their own sort of market. I'll give them that. It's not really a market. You know what I mean?
What are Ubisoft doing? I don't know.
It's not really a game anyone... I mean, but then
I'm
again,
sure. I'm pretty sure the Crew...
Wasn't the appeal of Crew Vike for you, who was an early adopter, that you could drive around to Las Vegas, check out the sites?
You could drive across America.
Across America, didn't
you? It takes like hours.
You loved that, didn't you?
Yeah, I loved that idea. And I think, I think the thing is, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'm baffled by who wants the Crew? I don't know.
Sorry, anyway, get ready to race through the city streets of Honolulu. Go down the ashy volcano
slopes.
That's cool.
Hawaii is cool.
Go down the ashy volcano slopes, adventure deep in the lush rainforest, drift along the curvy mountain roads, or chill at the sunny beach. So I'm going to chill in my car in a game at the beach and just look out at the view for about 10 seconds, and then I'm going to drive on.
It's so funny when you look at the history of the Crew, where the Crew One, like you said, Dan, huge map. They called it a car PG because you could upgrade your car like an RPG. Then they had this sort of story missions, and then the Crew Two completely changed. It was just playground with all the different vehicles, and it wasn't like some intense gang story like the Crew One, where you're in a crew and you have to rise the ranks. It was more like you're just trying to be the best racer. And now the Crew 3, it's sort of deviated again, and they're trying to hit some sort of middle ground where it's just cars, but it's open playground. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have high hopes, but I think the Crew 2 sold pretty well. I think it actually did pretty well, so it's kind of
a
no-brainer for
if
them
they're
to
gonna
do the
go
third
again.
Crew. Yeah. So
the thing is, this game is coming to PS4 as well. So our older gen. Interestingly,
shows you how that game can't be that revolutionary. Then you're already automatically limited by the PS4.
I don't know about that. But anyway, okay, last story. PSVR 2, bye.
Yeah, so the PSVR 2, so there was allegations, but there was a rumor going around that the PSVR 2, that Sony had cut the production numbers following the pre-order numbers. They were apparently disappointing. But Sony have come out. So Sony are aiming to produce 2 million headsets for launch on Feb 22nd, Dan. It's coming out in three weeks, VR2. So
I
games
don't know
industry
anyone that's pre-order it.
I did, but then I canceled it. So yeah, I'm not getting it. So it's so expensive. So gamesindustry.biz, they questioned Sony about this and said, are you, I'm reducing, and basically Sony are denying this. But then I think they've apparently revised their figure to 1.5 million. So between April 2023 and March 2024. So it looks like they sort of have, but not fully. This is all mentioned on PlayStation Lifestyle. The high cost of the headset apparently is a reason why they've cut it down in terms of their prediction of sales. So I think also VR is still something more of a emerging market in the gaming space. You know, not everyone has taken it on board. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, there's going to be obviously Resident Evil Village, Horizon, GT7. They're all cool, but I don't know. I'm not entirely excited for VR2. I think once it's maybe in the middle of its generation and you have a good catalog and it's a price reduction, I think that's definitely when I would look to get it, and then you get all the previous stuff like your Beat Saber, Super Hot and all that. So once there's that really good catalog and there's a cheaper price, maybe there's, a VR2 mini or some sort of mid-generation iteration, I think you could definitely see something there. I'd love to see a wireless iteration. I know it's a one wire, but I'd love to see a wireless iteration mid-gen. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Let us know if you're getting the VR2 headset.
I saw a photo of the initial setup of the VR1. It's so crazy. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I can't believe we did it.
There's like 100 chords, it feels like.
I can't believe we did it. Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is.
It's so funny. It is. So at least they've sort of fixed that to one chord, but still I think the text, it should be, I feel like it should be wireless. Anyway. Well, looks like we're a PlayStation podcast. None of us are getting it. So maybe I will have to bite the bullet. I really don't want to, but I'll do it for you guys if you really want.
We'll say.
Or we'll split it in half. Like, what do you reckon?
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that, mate.
He's definitely keen, everybody. You should have seen the conviction. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to mention just the Last of Us TV show. I think we'll be, we're both, well, I haven't watched any yet. I know you and Jordan have, and very, very positively reviewed. Did you want to speak to any of that without spoiling anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's overtaken Yellowstone as my favorite show at the moment.
Wow.
It's really, really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to seeing where it's going. I hope they continue deviating a little bit like they did with the Bill and Frank episode. I'm not going to, again, spoil it, but they've not followed it. I mean, some things are shot to shot, but then there's other parts that are completely different. So, but still keeping that essence of that material, which is what you want. So I think it's great that you got Craig Mazin on board, who did Chernobyl. You got Neil Druckmann involved, who obviously created the damn thing. So I always had faith it was going to be good, but not this good. I really love Pedro Pascal as Joel. I really, really love him as Joel.
I heard Nick Offerman had an amazing performance.
Oh, Nick Offerman, man. And Murray Bartlett, I think his name is. They're just, what a performance those two put on. A very emotional episode. So it's a great show. Hopefully they can continue on and keep upping themselves. I know the viewership is incredible. It's one of HBO's best shows besides House of Dragon. It's already renewed for a season two. So, you know, we'll probably, might be the last time we talk about it, I would say. And Vic, you got to catch up.
I'm excited. We'll definitely be doing a spoiler cast of the entire series once it's said and done.
100%. We'll
sit down and review it.
All right, Vic, anything you want to say to these beautiful people?
Thanks for listening. We haven't had a news episode in a while, so I hope you guys are all up to date from this episode. And we love you guys. Thanks so much for listening. We're always humbled by it and very thankful for your listening.
And with that being said, guys, Vikarth, it was a great guy. By the way, we are going to get a Q&A episode
out. Yes, we have a lot of questions.
Great questions, but the one that makes me laugh. The one that makes me laugh, it was infiltrating my YouTube content, and he said, "Tell Vic AC Valhalla is a great game."
There was a couple of comments saying to tell me that it's a great game.
Oh, man. When it makes it to my YouTube channel, that's when it's really funny to me.
You know, do you know when a game's a bit too bloated, Dan? When a game is a bit too over the top in its size, Dan. Have you seen the AC Valhalla skill tree?
Yeah, I think it's too small. They need a few more options, man.
Dan, do you know how many skills do you think there are in that skill
About
tree
100?
List? How many upgrades? Have you ever seen a game where there are 100 skills? 100. It's
that's
100
great
plus,
for
Dan.
Me because you're constantly evolving the gameplay.
No, but here's the thing, Dan. One of those upgrades, I'm pretty sure, is like increased stealth by like 0.1 or something. Like some
no,
insanely
it wasn't. No, I don't think it
percentage.
Was like that. I don't think it was.
It was.
Like that. Are
there
you
was,
sure?
There was upgrades where it was so insanely small. You know what I mean? Like it was a couple of percentage points or a couple of points. Like it was nothing. And I'm just like, yes, there's 100 upgrades, but if each upgrade is meaningless, yes, obviously putting 5 upgrades together is great and you feel
I
it.
I think
but
you've got that wrong, man. Honestly, that's not what the game was. You're thinking all of I remember, another game. You're thinking of another game.
I'm thinking of Assassin's Creed, and I'm like, these skill, the upgrade, or these upgrades are so minute.
Here, I've
they
got
are
one
so
here.
Minute.
I've got them here.
Yeah, perfect, there are major upgrades.
Perfect parry. Yeah. Parry in
there
the
are major upgrades.
Oh, so you're saying there's minuscule
There was major upgrades, and
okay,
there was minor upgrades.
Yeah, you might be right. Anyway, it's a great game. We recommend it.
Mate.
Tell everybody, make sure you tell Vike that he needs to play Death Stranding.
Yes, right? So I was meant to play it over the holidays and I just didn't get around to it.
Sad. Well, sad. Well, with that being said, it's been a pleasure to be here with you today, Vikarth, and everyone listening at home in the car, on the train, in the plane, on the boat. If you're playing the crew, all four. And it's been a pleasure. Take care, and we'll see you
later.
Bye-bye.
Later.